Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Tea with Crema. My name is Chris. I'll be one of your hosts today, and I'm joined by my best friend, Emma.
Good morning.
We are celebrating some important milestones here at the Tea with Crema. In case you are keeping track with things like ages, you'll know that in the month of April, it's a super important date. That is the time that this year I'll be turning 29 and a quarter. And so we're super excited to be celebrating. What an important milestone. I just, you know, it's really important that we like consider and celebrate all of those small victories. But while we're celebrating that, we are also celebrating the fact that one half of the Tea with Crema is entering their 30s. Oh my goodness. It's super exciting. What a time. I still remember watching other people turn 30 when I was little and being like, wow, you're so old. I'll never be there. I'll always be young. And here we are.
Still young.
Still young, but that is not what happened at all. So it's happening for one of us, like, in less than a week. We're super excited. So, can't wait.
Craziness. I thought you were going to be like, a very important time, tax day.
Oh my gosh. At time of recording and probably time of release, will not have done my taxes this year yet. So that's going to be fun. Can't wait to do that at some point before the deadline. Can't wait.
That's in 2 days.
Well, Emma, what tea did you bring to the episode today?
I'm worried. that's the name of my tea. Worried. I brought a Lupicia Rich Mango Oolong. It's very good. It's very classic. You know, just does what it needs to do. Tastes like mango. I said mango, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I was like, I said words and I couldn't remember which word I said. What are you drinking today?
Today I have a white orange with clove tea from Davidson's Organic Teas. And it is a white tea with orange peel, cloves, and calendula flowers. And I definitely got the orange peel. I definitely got, you know, the really soft white tea base. I wasn't really getting the clove, which I think is supposed to be like a little bit spicy, but I didn't necessarily get that too strongly, which I don't think is a bad thing. So it was very white tea and orange peel, which again, not a bad combination, a very soft tea, very easy palate.
Is that how you say it? I've always said calendula.
Oh, I ain't never seen this word before in my life. I have no idea.
But yours sounded actually pretty correct.
In what context would you have seen this word in?
Because it's like one of those herbs that you put to, like, I think that's what you use to help baby sleep.
Calendula? Calendula? Medulla? Medulla oblongata? Your doula that helps you with the baby?
Your doula that helps you with the killings?
That's what it is. So nah, I don't actually know how to say that word, but that's neither here nor there. Jumping into our episode, first and foremost, a happy, happy birthday to Emma, who is turning 30. So you are turning 30, which is still just a wild thing to even say about things. I don't even...
Where do we even start?
It's fine. Are you excited? I guess is the biggest thing. Like, are you excited, nervous, scared, angry, in denial? What stage of grief are you in right now?
I don't even think I'm in denial. I'm actually pretty excited. I think that my 20s were such a hot mess that I'm hoping that my 30s will be a little less hot mess. Maybe more knowing. It's funny because, like, I always felt like 30 was so old, and then I got here. And people used to be like, yo, when you turn 30, it just goes downhill from there. And I do find myself waking up with a little bit of like back cricks, my knees crack. So I'm like, is this what 30 is? Because if it is, I'm not here for it.
Oh, well, I don't know if you know this, but I know you're a little bit into astrology.
Right.
And so one of the planets that is on your birth chart, which again, I don't know if you've done your birth chart, but in case you haven't, it would be a fun little cute thing to do. But I say all that to say, one of the things that happens in astrology is Saturn takes about 29.4 years, about 30 years essentially, to go through its entire cycle through the sky and through the birth chart, you know, going around the sun and all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And so just like often something that's really come up this year is, you know, this is around the time that like you're really starting to go through shifts in like personal development and maturity and really making some changes in your life. So just kind of out of curiosity, I know, you know, again, we're about the same age, so I'm not far off from this experience.
I know, I was like, you're talking about this like I'm an elder or something.
And, you know, like I would say for me, just kind of matching up, not to steal the thunder from your episode, but I would say this has definitely been, I'm feeling the Saturn cycle starting over for sure. Right. Like the shifts are real. And so I'm just kind of curious if, you know, your 29th year leading into 30, if you've started to feel, if you felt any of those shifts in just in general, in your maturity, in your development, in your life.
I feel for sure, like, I think even though we are the same age, like, 7 months is a long time, right? So it's like, you just turned 29, like, I've been 29. And even though, like, that's, like, neither here nor there, right? Like, I feel like there is definitely a difference almost. I think they say, yeah, like, that Saturn return is, like, 28 to 30, right? And at 28, I felt very chaotic. And I think it's like slowly starting to peter out. I think also something with the eclipse was like Aries was in a certain house and it was more focusing on like yourself, like your own personal self and like self-discovery and whatnot. So I have definitely seen those shifts. And, you know, there was a shift in my relationship. We got married. There's a shift in my career, got a promotion, and things are just happening, right? And it's just like happening and you just kind of have to let it do what it's going to do. If you try to resist it, I feel like that's when you get more anxious, which I feel like even my anxiety levels as well. Started therapy, so that's been fun. So I wouldn't even say it's like a level of maturity, but just a level of like, I know what I can handle and I know what I cannot handle anymore.
That's definitely maturity for sure. Coming into really understanding your capacity for things and understanding that you have different capacities because it's not one singular capacity.
Ooh, put that on a mug, please.
On the mug. But yes, because you just, I've learned, you know, social capacities and emotional capacities. And you definitely, I think, yeah, like you're saying, it just all comes into learning about yourself. So right. It really does sound like Saturn did come into, you had some transitions in your 29th year.
Right, for sure.
So yeah. It really did kind of happen, actually.
It followed.
I wish you would have warned me. Thank you.
I felt like yours was like, you know what, though?
Thinking about, I'm going through it right now is what I'm telling you.
That's what I, so funny, because like watching this and like watching, you know, kind of everything that's going on in your life, I'm like, oh, yep, this Saturn returning is it's doing its thing. But that's why they also say like midlife crises, right? They happen around like you're 58 to 60. A lot of people are retiring around that time. So a lot of people take it as, oh, they're retiring. That's why they're like doing all of these wild things. But it's really because it's every 29 years, right? So they're going through another cycle. So it's another cycle of shifts, changes. That's why you also see such an increase in divorce at that age too. So all fascinating things. People think the stars don't tell the truth. They do.
Yeah. So for those of you that are into astrology, just know that 29 and 58 to 60, you know, those are years of transitions. And it's very common for people to see at least two Saturn transitions in their life. So I wonder if you have like another crisis around like 90, you know, just.
I feel like things get really tough
around like 87.
Right. Like, but I mean, I think that's also going back to like your friends are dying, you know. Those around you are dying. So I think but I think thinking about it astrologically, like it makes sense, right? You're in a point of chaos. Like your life is, you don't have another 30 years in you, sadly.
Yeah, because I don't think anyone would see a fourth Saturn cycle. The human lifespan, I don't think goes that far.
No, even like the oldest person has not lived that.
Through their fourth cycle.
Right.
You can get to the start of the fourth, maybe halfway-ish.
Right. Can you imagine like making it to the fourth one? I'd be so tired by that point. I'd be like, God, take me.
I don't even have time for a transition at this point. I'm making one transition. It's out of life. Okay. Because this is wild. How did this happen? A fourth transition?
Take me now. So at my school, we actually have one of the sisters. She's turning 102 this year. And she is like, she's not as fast as she used to be. So she has to kind of be transported around in the wheelchair. But my goodness, this woman has all of her faculties and she will tell you like it is. She's had alumni come up to her. She knows them exactly who they are, remembers what year they graduated. But then she'll be like, are you still with that good for nothing husband?
Wow. Okay.
And half the time they're not. Those alumni are not with those husbands anymore. And they're like, oh no, this is my new husband. And she's like, good. Because the other one was trash.
Oh, well, it'd be like that sometimes.
When you're 102, you can say whatever you want.
You know, you're in that fourth cycle, so it is what it is. So you've seen some things, you know some things. But, you know, really wanting to take a little bit more time to look back into the last 10 years for you. You know, the 20s are your rockin' 20s, it sounds like. Oh. They were an adventure. Mm-hmm. They were trying. Mm-hmm. There were lots of rewards, though. Lots of ups and downs. One might describe it as a, what do they call that? A roller coaster of emotions. Oh,
that one, that part, that definitely was.
So thinking about it, I guess kind of overall, if you had to pick one word to describe your 20s, like if you had to pick a word, the word.
The word?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel like roller coaster is two words.
It's definitely two words, so that can't work.
Oh, whirly, tumultuous.
That is a word.
Turmoil.
Look at this. Look at that. Okay, you know words. You know words about things.
Sometimes.
This is a little rough. Okay, so what were some of those things that you're just like, what made it tumultuous, both like in the growth periods and the times that you enjoyed, but you know, to have growth and be tumultuous, that means you also had some down and out moments. So What would you say? Are both of those things? What made it tumultuous for you?
Yeah, I think going into my 20s, like, you know, I was a sophomore in college. Like, that was like a time to be alive, man. Like, I think of 2014 with such fond memories. And like 2016 to me was like such good times, right? And entering my 20s, I remember just being so like, so young and so optimistic. And like, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to change the world. I'm going to make money. Like, I'm going to make money, money, money. And what did I become? A teacher. So what was I not doing? Making money, money, money. But to get to that point, like, I remember coming out of college and being depressed, like literally not getting out of bed. And no one ever really talks about that post-grad sadness and how tough it was. I was in a new location. I had no friends. I had no job. So whenever I talk about teaching, even though, you know, we've talked about like, this is not potentially our lifelong goals, I will never not be grateful to teaching because of the opportunities that it's opened up for me. I will, you know, as much as I gripe about the system, it's because I know that the system could be better. But it served me to do what it, you know, needs to do. Like, it gave me the basic needs. I had an income. I was able to, you know, work with kids, all of those things. And then, you know, moving to Japan was also like, it was a high, but it was also like a low too, because then I had to figure out, like, I was so comfortable in Texas. And I think I could have lived out my life and my career in Texas, but we were so burnt out after the pandemic. I think, did I turn 25 in the pandemic? 26? How old was I? Oh, I turned 26 in the pandemic, right? Like, that is already just like a big time, midway to your 20s, to your 30s. I think there's been a lot of ups, but there's also been a lot of downs. Got married in my late 20s. You know, Isaac and I figuring out long distance, figuring out our relationship throughout that time too. And, you know, now moving forward, like figuring out what's next. So I think that's always a good reflection point. How would you say your 20s have been? How have they treated you?
I don't really have many complaints, honestly.
Yeah, I think there's more highlights than there are lowlights.
Yeah, I can't really complain all that much. I mean, yeah, the pandemic was wild, but like also
thrived. I thrived throughout that pandemic.
I was not doing terribly in the grand scheme of things. Was definitely taking advantage of like inexpensive travel. So
Right. Like
it just, you know, there were lows for sure. But I didn't have the post-grad sadness or depression.
Oh, because you went directly from being a graduate to workforce.
I also didn't graduate with the same major that you had. Like, you had a major that, like, for all intents and purposes, should have made you money. I graduated with a major in government, so, like...
The fact that you are making money is a...
You know, I've done a thing, so, yeah, I guess we probably had two different life expectations, which might have helped shade what those next few years looked like. Mm. Who's to say that having, if I hadn't necessarily been employed directly after, that I wouldn't have had a similar experience. But I don't, it all, like, it worked out. The pieces all fit. Now, was I a little spitfire in my 20s? Absolutely.
I was like,
I don't think I will, I don't anticipate that stopping. I think I've just become more and more articulate as I've gotten older. So
for sure.
Love that for the people in the rest of my life.
Articulate and also I feel like more emotionally intelligent as well. Like, I feel like you were a spitfire and you're like, I don't care if I hurt your feelings. I don't care how you take this. I think you still kind of have the similar like mentality, but it's like, I'm going to try not to hurt your feelings unless you'll know if I want to hurt your feelings. It's going to be intentional.
You know, so I've learned and grown, as they described. So yeah, in the grand scheme, I don't really have, overall, I don't have very many complaints for my 20s. I would say I've had a really solid time. It's really interesting because I realized that most of the pictures on my phone have really just been from my 20s.
Yeah,
all of my pictures from before then exist in different places, but my phone just really has my 20s really just captured. So like, if we were to go through the pictures on my phone, you would see my 20s pretty much from, I would say, like, about 21. So like, okay, sure, the first year-ish wasn't really there, but like, from 21 up until 30, it's pretty much all captured on my phone. It's just a fun little timeline there. And right. So that's like a fun little fun fact for me. So that would little, say.
Good little memory lane.
Exactly. I'm trying to think. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't recall my 20s being any major challenges, just lots of little ones.
Right.
So that's my 20s. They'd be like that though. But would you say, you know, one of the things that you mentioned was like, you know, making money, 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 spending money, money, money. What you doing to make money, 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 miss? That was the goal. We always talking about side hustles and projects and stuff. What you got going?
My gosh. I feel like I have too many side hustles going on at this point. And then I was exhausted. I remember, like, in college, I was working, like, 3 jobs for that minimum wage. And, you know, if I made that $400 biweekly, I had gas. And I had enough to go to Wingstop. And then during the pandemic, started teaching for these 2 companies, tutoring on the side for children who live in China and teaching them English. It was just like a fun little thing. And, you know, I was making enough supplemental income to like pay off bills and stuff. And then when I moved to Japan, got exhausted. So I stopped doing that. But because the yen tanked, I had to start doing it again. So I'm doing that. I'm also writing for a company that I don't even know if I'm allowed to say what I'm writing for. But basically, I'm writing like content, like educational content, science content. So if you're ever out there studying and you see my name, you're welcome. So I feel like that's what I've been doing to like side hustle. And it's like, I'm tired of the hustle. I just want to be soft and live my best life. But also, why is the yen trash? So that's what I've been doing. Nothing too crazy though. You know, did get a promotion, so that's nice, but it's not enough of a promotion is all I can say. But,
and you have to work more, so there's that. It's not like it's...
Literally. I'm like, this is not fun. Who said I should do this?
You. Literally you.
Me. But I am having fun. That's the thing. Like, I'm having fun. But I think it's education. You know, they take advantage of your goodwill. So I'm cognizant of that.
And just to kind of like, you know, for the followers at home, if you want to, I know, just briefly go over your career journey in your 20s. Because it's... You've taken some turns, you know, so... You know, start of your 20s, you were in school.
Yeah, I was in school.
Where has life taken you since then?
Right. So I guess, yeah, start of my 20s, I was in school. Right before I graduated, I was working in a lab, loved doing lab work. So I really thought I was going to make a career out of that, like doing research and development, because I loved being in the lab. I loved, like, it was almost like monotonous, but it was so like peaceful to me to like do things and see like what the results were, right? Like to get test results. So coming out of college, was that all I was applying for? Oh, I applied for like, I forgot about that. I applied for like doctorate programs, master's programs, got into a bunch and decided not to go because I didn't have any direction as to what I wanted to do with my degree. I knew I wanted to take it to the higher level. So then started as a high school teacher. I'm teaching integrated physics and chemistry, which is a very Texas subject.
I also can't believe you just skipped your whole year of fun employment.
Oh, I feel like I talked about
that wasn't like a major, I mean, yes, but it is a part of the journey.
Oh, I feel like I talk about the fun employment. Yeah, you're right. So I graduated, couldn't find a job for a year, a literal year. So I was working at Target at one point and I loved it. It was one of my favorite jobs that I've ever had, which is why, you know, I hate corporations, but love Target. So I worked at Target for not even a year, like maybe like 2 or 3 months. And after working at Target, they wanted to give me a full-time position, but I was like, no, I'm not gonna work here. So because it was like during that transition where I was applying for Teach for America, I was applying for, you know, jobs and everything. So then I left Target to go to Alaska because my aunt had just retired, went to Alaska, still did not have a job all throughout that summer. The last day of our teacher training, finally got a call to teach and teach ninth grade. So I was teaching ninth grade integrated physics and chemistry. And then in my third year of teaching, I became the head of department. And I was like, I was doing that. And I was also providing like professional development. Like, I feel like I went through so much professionally in the first 4 years of my career. Did that for a couple of years. After the pandemic, was on a podcast with my friend at Reads with Rosa. And she was like, hey, my school has an opening for a science position. Applied on a whim, got the position, came here, and then taught for 2 years, and an assistant principal position opened up. And Chris and I both got our master's in educational leadership. So I was like, okay, this feels like the next step. Like, let's just try it. Who knows? You might hate it or you might love it. So now that's where I'm at. Did I miss anything? I feel like it's just been a lot of teaching.
That's ultimately what it ended up being.
Right.
Teaching in the main job, teaching in the side job, just always teaching people things.
Literally, always teaching. And yeah, all of the side hustles.
That's Emma's resume in case you're ever, you know, wanting to come back to this
for,
and consider her.
Teacher. And not only that, I would like to also point out third generation teacher. So that's always really cool. My grandfather was a teacher and a principal. My aunts were all teachers. None of my cousins became teachers, which is weird because all of our aunts were teachers, like elementary school teachers, taught English, taught at the church school, like. So it's always wild to me that I'm the only one in our generation that became a teacher.
Someone had to carry it on.
I know. I was not asking for it, though. That's the thing. I was not asking for this mantle.
It just happened. It came for you, actually.
Literally. Literally came for
me. Oh, gosh. So I guess, you know, another part of growing up is things like relationships and friendships change. Mm-hmm. And so would you say that, we know career-wise, it's been a journey for you. Would you say that your friendships and relationships are something that have been tumultuous as well? Or has that been a bit more of a source of stability through your 20s?
I wouldn't say that. I feel like that's been the one constant. Like, the one thing that I could always lean on was my family and my friends. I think as I got older, like, finding friends was always really hard. So, you know, when Chris and I became friends, we like went through the pandemic together. We were in a bubble together. We started a podcast together. But, you know, like, I had really good friends in college, like, had built community in college with other Pacific Islanders and really found that to be my source of comfort. And then moving into my, you know, moving to Texas, I had a really good friend from college who was also in Texas who had kind of like, he's the one who introduced me to teaching. Shout out to Mike. And then from there, felt like I got, you know, more opportunities to become friends. Like, I made really good friends at all of at the school that I was at, who I still talk to today. Chris doesn't remember me from our first year of teaching, but that's okay. It doesn't hurt my feelings too much anymore. Or not even our first year of teaching, but the summer that we met. So I try not to dwell on it too much, but...
But does bring it up frequently.
But I do. I am dwelling on it because that's rude. How do you just forget someone?
I feel like... You're using the wrong verb. You're using forget.
I was just not memorable.
I, at the time, did not take you as someone I was going to be in a long-term friendship with. So that's what happened.
I think that's what, like, it's so funny because I feel like that's what we bonded on. Of like, why are people becoming these, like, so tight and, like, such best friends? They're going to leave in 2 years. Look at us.
And definitely did. So many of them did.
Yeah,
so many people's names
did.
I can't remember. Right. I'm really committed to like the I won't know y'all in 2 years like life.
And you know what? I think because he committed to that, I was like, nah.
Fact, you committed to the 2-year life.
Yeah. So Chris really committed to that. So I think in terms of like friendships, you know, I've noticed that like friendships are hard to make as an adult. And I think I committed to the whole, like, I don't want to make friends at work because I wanted to have some separation. And that's so hard though. Like, so I think there was some growth in that point and like some emotional growth of like understanding that you're going to have to negotiate in some ways of how to make friends and how to do those things.
Because technically speaking, if that's the case, you and I are work friends.
No, we never worked together.
But we did the same line of work. Ugh. We met through an organization focused on the work that we were doing.
I like to say that we bonded on the fact that I think it helped that you were in a lower level school, like a, you know, lower grades, and I was in higher grades. I don't know. Yeah, I think just in terms of like relationships, I feel like I've become more like I value the time that I have with friends. So like right now I have a friend from California who's one of my girlfriends that like throughout college was there for me, and like we traveled together. So she's in Japan right now with her partner. So, you know, like those things. And I was kind of nervous because like I haven't seen her in person in so long. But like as soon as we saw each other, like it felt like we just automatically went back to when we were in school, you know, and like catching up and things like that. So I feel like I value the time I have with people that I love a lot more now. Like when you're in college, like you're like, oh, there's like a revolving door of people. Like it's just like everything is new and you want to hang out with all the people. And now I really do appreciate those long-term friendships, especially like long-term friendships that I've had, like friends from elementary school who've come and visited me, who like lived right down the street from me. So shout out to Sam. But, you know, like things like that is crazy to me to think back on, of like, wow, we've been friends for like 20 years now. Like our friendship can almost drink legally. You and I have been friends now for like almost six years. When did I start teaching?
Seven
years. Like that's crazy, you know, like, and it's crazy to see how much you've grown. I hope I've grown in some ways too. But like getting to like see those like ebbs and flows of your life and getting to be a part of that, I think is really special. So, yeah.
What a cute little nugget.
A little nugget of friendship.
Now, I know you mentioned a little bit of traveling.
Mm-hmm. We have a whole episode on it.
Literally. But would you say that your 20s were good for traveling, though?
Yes, they were fantastic for traveling. 10 out of 10 would recommend. My credit card would say completely the opposite. But I was out here. I was walling, honestly. Like, when I think about it, I was like, oh, financial stability was not it. Remember, I thought I was going to make money. So I was acting like I was making money on my tap water budget, trying to drink champagne. So yes, definitely my 20s were the year. Like that was the first time I traveled internationally. The girlfriend that's out here right now, like she's the one that I traveled to Europe with, went to Costa Rica with, picked up and left to go to Australia one Thanksgiving. Like, yeah, I would definitely say some good travel memories. My favorite travel memory is going to Costa Rica. That was the first time Isaac and I traveled internationally. I'm a liar. That's the first time we traveled internationally solo by ourselves. Yeah. We traveled to Iceland together with my mom. So yeah, that was like our first trip together, which was, you know, very fun. Isaac still refers to himself as Tico Isaac because a Tico is a Costa Rican person. So he still misses his Tico self. But yeah, that was probably some of my favorite memories. I guess, yeah, coming to Japan, that was cool too, but it's more for work. So it's not like travel.
It's been an adventure for sure. A literal adventure. So any final thoughts for your 20s? Little nuggets we might not have included?
Oh, some nuggets, you know. Live your best life. Buy the shoes. Buy the hamburger. You want to eat that hamburger? Go ahead and eat that hamburger and that cheeseburger. Like, your 20s are for having fun and making mistakes. I think that's what it comes down to. You're still so young. Like, any mistakes you make in your 20s, you can easily rectify.
So, what would you give, you know, your Yelp review rating of your 20s?
4.5 stars, for sure. It's been a good time.
Okay. What a way to rate tumultuous, you know, to call it tumultuous, but still go to 4.5. Yeah. That means the highs were high, high, high.
Yeah, definitely. And the lows were low, low, low.
Then it should be like a 3.5. So your lows could have been that low.
I mean, I think there were pockets of the low, but the pockets of the high were high enough to like outweigh the low.
Exactly. It's like when you go to a new restaurant and the wait is an hour and a half, but the service is stellar and the food is really good. The ambiance was amazing. Yep. And it's just like, you know, the lows were low. I waited an hour and a half for this experience, but it was worth it in the end.
Yes. All the things.
So that's good. So I'm glad it worked 4.5. out. You were fun employed for a year, but then you found a great career, you know?
Exactly. Sometimes
haven't looked back.
Good things happen to those who are fun employed.
Literally waiting because they have to, so. Because
you have no choice.
Like that. That's fine. Well, Emma, that means it is now time for our
rapid fire question!
But in honor of the fact that you're turning 30 and it's your birthday, I guess you can go first, even though you always have the first question. But, because you know, you can go first.
It's like a hit or miss. That's why I have to go first. Can you share a joke that never fails to make you laugh? It makes you giggle every time you think about it.
How do you make a tissue dance? You put a little boogie in it? You've never heard this joke before?
I feel like I have, but the fact that you're laughing while telling it makes me...
I guess it's just like goofy. It's just like a cute little like dad joke and you're just like...
Oh my gosh. Okay, my joke is not a dad joke. Are you ready for it? But it makes me laugh and I can't like not laugh throughout it.
Oh dear. Okay.
Okay, are you ready? This is called Balloon Family. All right, are you ready for it? So there's a family of balloons, a mama balloon, a papa balloon, and a baby balloon. And there was a storm one night, so the baby balloon was really scared. Isaac is already laughing because it's so funny. There was a storm one night, and baby balloon was super scared. So he talked to his parents at bedtime, and he said, please, please, please let me sleep with you guys. And mama balloon and papa balloon said, no, you have to sleep in your room. Papa balloon said, no, son, you're not a baby anymore. You have to sleep on your own. Go to bed. Baby balloon was upset, but eventually baby balloon went to bed in its bedroom. So the storm at this point, it's getting really loud. There's lots of lightning, lots of thunder. So baby balloon's like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to my parents' room and that's going to be the end of it. So he sneaks in and he tries to snuggle in between them, but you know, they're balloons. So they're taking up the whole bed and he can't quite fit. So he goes to mama balloon's balloon and goes, letting a bit of air out. And then he goes to papa balloon. And he tries to like lay down again, still can't fit. So he goes to Papa Balloon's balloon and he goes, letting some air out so he can fit, right? Because they're two balloons. So he goes back down and he's like, oh, still can't fit. So he's like, okay, I let out air out of mom, let out of air out of dad. Now I'm going to let out air for myself. So, you know, finally he lays back down and he can fit. So it's perfect. You know, he's sleeping snugly. You know, he's both his parents, all of these things. And then in the morning, his parents wake up before him and he wakes up and he's like, oh. And his parents are looking at him and they have disappointed looks. And Papa Balloon shakes his head and he goes, son, you're so disappointed in you. You let me down. You let your mom down. And worst of all, you let yourself down. Get it?
I don't get it.
He let himself down because he unblew himself.
Oh.
Never mind. That was too long. You can edit that joke out. How do you make a tissue dance?
I guess I was thinking of them as like balloon people.
Oh no, they're
like you know
balloons.
The little
like balloons on a string.
See, and I guess I need to do that clarification.
I didn't set it up.
Because in my head they were like clowns that were like folded into be balloon people.
No, they were balloons on strings. Isaac is laughing because the first time I told it to him, he also was like, that was dumb. But it makes me laugh every time because I'm like, he let his mom down because he let the hair out of her. And then he let his dad down because he let the air out of him. But most importantly, you let yourself down because he let the air out of himself.
That's okay. The question was about what makes you laugh. So I love that for you.
10 hours later, you can just cut out the joke and just get to that last part.
Just get to the laughter part. Yeah, I didn't miss anything. It's wild. Okay. Goofy. What? Okay, well, that was fun. I love that.
What's your question?
My question is, what color annoys you when you see it?
Chartreuse.
Is that blue?
No, it's very lime green. Like, I like lime green, but for some reason, every time I see chartreuse, because to me, it feels like a blue purple, but then it's green.
Oh.
Ooh. Right?
Yeah, that's
really
aggressive.
Right? It's greeny, right?
It's a shade of yellow green.
Yeah, so exactly. But to me, chartreuse has such a beautiful name, and that to me does not scream chartreuse.
It's not a pretty color.
What about you?
I would say like the ugly brown you get when you just mix all of the paint colors.
Oh.
It's so annoying. I'm just like, why would you? It reminds me of being like wasteful or like a missed opportunity or like a very irreconcilable mistake. I'm just like, ew. Because it's like that, I don't know, it's like a smudgy brown. It just,
right.
Ugh. You can't use it for anything.
It's not an inconsistent brown.
You could never remake it.
Right.
It just is gross. You've just made a weird smudgy brown out of your paints now. Just
our arts programs are getting cut because you're mixing paint.
You keep making hodgepodge ugly brown. Whatever the name. Ugly brown. So rude. Well, Emma, where can people find the podcast?
You can find our podcast on Instagram and Facebook at The Tea with Crema. If you'd like to buy us a cup of tea, you can also Venmo us at The Tea with Crema. Or if you'd like to buy me a birthday cake, which is half red velvet and half carrot cake, you can also Venmo us at The Tea with Crema. What's the last thing I say? Oh, I got it. I was like, I feel like that's not the end. It's begging for money. If you'd like to catch up on our other episodes and hear our other birthday episodes, you can stream us anywhere that you like to stream your favorite podcast. We'll see you next time. Bye.